I think we ought to have a singing and testimony service myself. I think that's what y'all did last night, right? Wish y'all did that, save that for tonight. I really do. Amen. I do right now. If the Lord gets in this, I wish you had. And if you don't, I wish we had. I've been in both of those places. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank y'all for letting us come. I'm overwhelmed, Pastor. Every year you ask me to come, or the years you've asked me to come, I'm overwhelmed, this great crowd. And I preach. I mean, a lot of you preachers, y'all preach to crowds like this and bigger every Sunday. I'm not used to this. Amen. So we are out there in the wilderness, and so we don't have a crowd like this every Sunday, but I just try to do best I can. Amen. Pray the Lord to bless it. Amen. But it's been an honor to be here. Great, great preaching. I know we always say that. It sounds like we always say that, but I mean, just tremendous preaching this afternoon and this morning, and I appreciate it. And that's the services I was able to get in on, and I appreciate the good word of God that we heard today. Amen. Challenge my soul. Amen. And so thank you for letting us come, Pastor. I mean that. This is a beautiful place, isn't it? I mean, I am telling you, when you come up here, you just feel like feel like you're moving on up, really. And from where I live, anywhere is moving up. Amen. But this is a blessing, I am telling you. I appreciate what God did. It's amazing. I remember I used to preach in the old building when Brother Cole was here. And I probably shared that before. I think at the first time, if I remember correctly, I preached a message somewhere in a preacher's fellowship, and Brother Cole come up to me, and I never had that happen but about once, I believe. Brother Cole come up to me and said, "Brother Willis, I want you to come and preach that message in my church on a Sunday night." And I don't normally leave my church on Sunday night. That was many years ago, and I had the honor then to come and preach in Welcome Baptist Church, I believe, was probably the first time, and that was over the old building that burnt down. And so I got to meet Brother Cole, and then of course when all that transpired and Brother Jarvis took the church, amen, appreciate what the Lord has done. Even though that was a great tragedy, the Lord brought good out of it, amen. And so we thank the Lord. This is a beautiful facility, beautiful grounds, and y'all are such kind people. We appreciate it. We had a little meet like this weekend at our church, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I was sharing this at the fellowship yesterday, and on Sunday I got a call, and you were saying what you were saying about one person getting help. I got a call Sunday morning. The pastor had brought some of his young people to the meeting, and he called me Sunday morning. He said, "Preacher, I'm telling you, our young people got in the meeting, and we was able to bring them. First time they'd come," he said, "our young people came to the meeting. We brought a few young people with us," and said, "we got back to church Sunday morning and said the service opened up, and our young people jumped up and started testifying." Said, "I mean like preaching." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He said, "It was a girl." I said, "Praise God, let her preach, amen." Praise God. So if anybody can get some help in these meetings, it's worth it all. Amen. All the work, all the labor. And so we thank the Lord for what y'all have done. Now I'm looking forward to eating after church. Amen. I didn't get to eat the meal this afternoon, so I pray y'all left something. Amen. And we'll go back down to after church. That's how we normally do it. But y'all normally eat about all at supper time. And we don't get to eat much after church because y'all done ate it all. Amen. I think we'll rustle up something this evening. Amen. You can tell I'm nervous, can't you? I heard about the lady the other day. The lady called her husband up and said, "Honey, I'm going to be a little bit late getting home." Said, "I'm having some problems with the car." He said, "Problems with the car?" I said, "Honey, that's a new car. You ought not be having problems." She said, "Well, I'm telling you, I'm having some problems with this car, so I'm going to be late getting home." He said, "Well, what do you mean problems with the car?" She said, "Well, I really think it's got water in the carburetor is what I think has happened to it." He said, "Water in the carburetor? I mean, it's a new car. Why would you think there's water in the carburetor? You don't know anything about cars." She said, "Well, I'm pretty sure it's got water in the carburetor." He said, "Well, where is the car?" She said, "In the river." Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand up and read the Bible. 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, amen. Chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Amen. All right. Well, I preached this down in the Low Country, and some of our Low Country brethren are here. So I guess those that endure to the end will be saved. But and the other one I was going to preach when I came up, they done heard that one too. So it don't really matter to them. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let's look there in verse 15. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is of the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunaeus and of Caicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." And I want to take that well-known verse right there in verse 16 of that well-known thought. Said they have addicted themselves to the ministry. And I want to use that thought tonight to preach on, are you addicted? Are you addicted? Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come to church. Lord, these meetings are so refreshing and so helpful. And God, I can say in the last several meetings I've been in, I've heard preaching that, Lord, I've been saved a little while and passed in some years now. And I've heard some messages that God have, Lord, in these last few days have really, Lord, enlightened me and encouraged me and given me insight on things that I did not know. Lord, thank you for these great men of God bearing their hearts to us from the Bible. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd use the message tonight to stir us. That's all I would ask be done. You'd stir us and change us to the glory of God. Certainly, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray by the grace of God, but Lord, before this night is over, they would give their heart and life to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible said they have addicted themselves to the ministry. Now, what really got my attention on that, not so much that thought there, but I ended up on that thought. But as I was reading this in verse 17, he said, I'm glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and of Achaicus. And as I looked in the margin, I have a Scofield Bible, as I looked in the margin of the Bible, it said there, that is the same word, the coming of Stephanas, is the same word, the coming is the same word that talks about the coming of the Lord. That's in the Scofield Reference Bible in the margin. It means the personal appearance of the Son of God. And here's what Paul's saying. Paul said, I was so encouraged as if the coming of the Lord, I was so encouraged by the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. In other words, their presence meant so much to me. And I really think sometimes we really don't stop, maybe we do, and realize how much the presence of God's people means to one another. I think truly in a meeting like this, a large part of this meeting, though it's centered around preaching and singing and praising, a large part of these meetings is us coming together, amen, and having the presence of one another. We call each other on the phone, we text, amen, and those kind of things, but to be able to come together and see one another, the personal presence of one another encourages us in the Lord. I told him one time, I believe at the fellowship or the meeting I went to, I said, I go to these meetings to hear how hard you having it. I get encouraged because you're discouraged. Your discouragements encourage me because I have discouragement. I'm glad to hear, thank God, you are having trouble. Is anybody listening? Amen. I'd hate to think I'm the only one that's having these problems, amen. But when I get to these meetings, I find all of us are having problems in our service for God, amen. And that is a fact. I've been pastoring about 32 years now, and this is not crying. This is living in reality. I've never seen a day that is harder to work pastoring than it is today. And that's not negative. I'm not being negative. But he said, I'm glad for the coming of Stephanas, the personal presence of the man, of the people of God. Verse 17, he's saying, just as our lives will not be complete till he comes, he's saying our lives will not be complete till you come. Talking about Stephanas. He said, our lives are not going to be complete till the Lord comes. But he's also saying, hey, our lives are not going to be complete till you come. I'm glad he said verse number 17, the latter part, he said what was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, he's talking about, who is he talking about? He's talking about that crowd that was addicted to the ministry. He's talking about that crowd that their life involved serving God and living for God. What a blessing it is that we can gather together. Hey, personally be with one another and share our ministries with one another. Amen. So till he comes, we need you to come. Amen. Hey, till the Lord comes, we need one another. Now, I've met a few people say they don't need people. But I'm telling you, either they're lying or they ain't right with God. I'm just made up this way. I need people. I just have to have fellowship. Some preachers don't have to have fellowship. But I'm a preacher. I love fellowship. I love going and hearing, preaching and singing and praying and shouting. I have to have personal fellowship with other believers. I'm glad down in the low country. And I'm glad, not saying this because our brethren are here tonight, but I'm glad down in the low country every month. We're able to get together, Brother Barry, and we're able to preach and sing and go to supper and preach and sing after supper. What a blessing that is that we get to do that. And our fellowship, thank God you can preach. We don't fall out and get mad at people who preach. And I'm telling you, they're telling me that's rare. But I'm glad for the personal presence of the people of God. Hey, it's that crowd that's addicted. Amen. I'm preaching on, are you addicted? I think the analogy is in Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be filled with the Spirit. I think the analogy is there. Are you addicted? Amen. Addicted, I looked it up. It means to be under the authority of or to be devoted to. Amen. Are you addicted to the ministry of the saints? Hey, a church like this, having something like this, what little bit I know about it, I don't know a whole lot. I know enough to say this. Hey, for people to have a meeting like this, you have to have people that are addicted to serving God. Amen. If you don't, you'll have a church split. Amen. Me cook what? Me stay up late what? Me be in all the services what? Are you crazy preaching? Somebody help me. They're addicted, amen. Hey, they were addicted to the ministry. I'm asking, are you addicted? Amen. I want to be addicted to the gospel. Hallelujah. I preached down in Georgia. I was a preacher down in Georgia, and he was telling me the story. He said, preacher, I was going to preach in the prison, and he said, I've got a number of men in my church who are called to preach. And so I was going to the prison to preach, and I asked several of the men in the church to go with me. And one of the preachers said to me, he said, Pastor, I'd love to go with you, but I can't go. He said, why can't you go? Work? He said, no. He said, before I got saved, he said, I was put in prison. And he said, because I have a prison record, I can't go back to the prison because I have a prison record. He said, all right, I understand that. He said, went to another one. He said he couldn't go. He said, well, why can't you go? You got to work or you got some. He said, no. He said, before I got saved, he said, I was put in prison and I have a record and I can't go to prison because I have a record from being in prison. Then the third one, he said, you going with me? He said, the other two ain't going. Are you going? He said, no, I can't go, Pastor. He said, I think I know the answer. Tell me what it is. He said, well, before I got saved, he said, I was in prison. And he said, well, because I was in prison, I can't go back to the prison because I got a record. All of them have been put in prison because they were addicted to drugs. But now, instead of being addicted to drugs, they were addicted to the gospel. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm addicted to the right thing. I'm glad, thank God, tonight I'm not in a pool room. I don't have a bear can in my hand, but I'm in the house of God with the people of God. I'm addicted to the gospel. Amen. Amen. You know what I told that pastor? I said, I hope your church don't ever backslide. I said, your life will be in danger. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, they have been addicted. Amen. I preached in a church in North Carolina. I was Brother Ronnie Young's church. I preached in Brother Ronnie Young's church one time. And I preached something. I don't know what I preached, but how they were going out the back door. Brother Ronnie's church ain't nothing but a bunch of convicts and thugs and thieves and drug addicts. And they've been saved by the grace of God. And I preached there one night. And I was standing at the back door. And they were coming out the door. And one fellow walked up to me, put his arm around me. He said, preacher, do you know who you're preaching to? I said, well, not really. He said, I counted the night while you were preaching. There were 7 or 8 crack addicts sitting in the service while you was preaching. I told Brother Ronnie that. I said, Brother Ronnie, you better hope your church don't never backslide because you will be in danger. Hey, I'm just simply saying, isn't it wonderful to see people that were once addicted to the things of the world, but now they're addicted to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, are you addicted? Are you addicted? Amen. Notice the family of Stephanus. Notice in verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus. They are the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Notice their conversion. Over the chapter number one, they were the first of Paul's converts in Corinth. He said, in verse number 14, I thank God I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. I also baptized also the household of Stephanus, because I know not whether I baptized any other. They were some of the first people that Paul had won to God. Now this family is addicted to the gospel. They got converted. I'm glad to see people get converted. I like to come to service like this and hear Brother Jeff stand up and testify. Hey, I was about to kill myself. I was trying to commit suicide. But Jesus stepped in and I got gloriously saved by the grace. I love to hear them testimony. Dear God, you'd probably be shocked who's in here tonight. Used to be addicted to the things of this world. Amen and amen. Boy, it's good to see people saved. Dear God, y'all used to be shouting, acting crazy on rock and roll music and blues and boogie, amen, and country music, amen. But now you're in the house of God singing the praises of God. Hey, with your hand in there. Don't let it scare you, brother. First time I walked in a crowd like this, I said they are absolutely crazy. I was in a Pentecostal meeting. At least you can understand what we're saying. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I was about rum-dum that night. I'd been drinking all day. And I walked into that place that night. And them people was talking things I couldn't understand. Running around the building. Had their hands in the air. Shouting. I said, this crowd is crazy. Are you listening? Before the service was over, I joined them. Somebody help me. I'm just simply saying it's wonderful to see people that are brought out of a life of addiction and now they are addicted to the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I was preaching over in the prison. Brother Lance is the chaplain over there. And I was preaching over in the prison. And I walked in the prison. There was a fellow standing in the hall. And I'm telling you, Pastor, there was not a place on that man's body. He had his prison uniform on. There was not a place on his body that wasn't a tattoo. You could not hardly put a pin where there was not a tattoo on his body, even including his head. And I looked at that fellow, and I'm telling you, he was one wild-looking fellow. And so anyway, I walked by, and they introduced me to him. Amen. His name was Judd. Last name was Judd. And I talked to him a little bit. Well, anyway, I preached that night. And I think about the next week, Brother Lance coming. He said, Brother Willis, you'll never forget. You remember that fellow you met with the tattoos? I said, how could I forget him? He said, he's been in Satan worship for 15 years. He said he dedicated himself to Satan. And he said, guess what happened this week? I said, what? He said he gloriously got saved. So I had to be scheduled back over there a little short time later. And I was walked in and there he was, smiling from ear to ear. And I said, Brother Judd, what happened to you? He said, Preacher Willis, I got gloriously saved. He said, God delivered me from all that filth and ungodliness. And God got me out of Satan worship. I said, glory to God. So anyway, I went and preached that night. Went on to preach that night. And at the end of the service, a fellow come up to me. We had wide eyes. He said, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you. I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, hey, I got to get saved. I said, well, you need to go talk to the chaplain. So when I left, I had to walk by the chaplain's office and I left. And I seen Brother Lance and that fellow down on their knees when I left. And Brother Lance called me on the way home. He said, Brother Alfred, guess what just happened? I said, what? He said, Brother Alfred, I'm not exaggerating. Of all the men in this 500, 600 facility, as far as I know, the meanest, dirtiest, ungodliest, that fellow you saw on his knees was the wickedest fellow I know in this prison. He said, you know what happened? He just got saved. Get this. He said, he's the one that put the tattoos on Judd. And I've been talking to Brother Lance. He said, Brother Alfred, they're still on fire for God. Hallelujah. Hey, those that are addicted can switch their addiction to the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, I made a switch one night. Amen. I got off of hyped up pills and got on the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm simply saying to you tonight, they were converted. Then they were consecrated. The Bible said in verse 15, they have now addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hey, thank God tonight. I'm glad now they're hooked on the gospel. Amen and amen. You know, God is still saving people. I'm glad for that. I say amen for addiction. Somebody said, what? Amen for addiction. Addiction is awful. Depends on what you're addicted to. I say the amen of addiction. Thank God I'm hooked on the gospel. Amen. Amen. We think of addiction as awful. Amen. Certainly there's an awfulness in addiction. Amen. I don't normally get the calls. Brother Jeff gets the calls. And I don't say this for any ulterior motives. I've had two calls a day. I normally don't get the calls. Brother Jeff gets the call. I had a call today. A fella called me. He called me 2 weeks ago. He said, "Preacher, I've got to have help. I married a girl at a Victorious Valley home. I married this girl. I got back on drugs." He said, "I'm in a mess." About 2 weeks ago he come. Then he called me back today. He said, "Preacher, I've been sleeping in the woods for 2 nights. I haven't had nothing to eat for 2 days. He said, "Could y'all help me?" And that's why I was down here praying today. I said, "Man, I want to do all I can to help you. And we ain't got no room. We have no room to put him." Had another call today. A man in jail. We got his girlfriend. His girlfriend is 7 months pregnant. He went through our program, got through our program, graduated from our program, went back to drugs. You know where he is tonight? He's in the Dorchester County Jail. While he was out, he got his girlfriend pregnant. We got her in a place at our church, keeping her till he gets out. And possibly a miracle of God, he may get out tomorrow. I said, "The first thing, y'all might not agree with this, don't matter right now, I'm preaching." I said, "The first thing you need to do when you get out of jail is marry that girl." You say, "Well, I ain't gonna argue that." Don't run that rabbit. I said, "The first thing you need to do before you even do anything, I'm taking you to get married." Amen. Hey, he's a drug addict. He's a drug. He needs to be saved. His girlfriend's not saved. But here's what she said. She said, "I am listening and I am understanding about the gospel." We're dealing with people who have no concept of the gospel. She's got tattoos down her arm. I say, "You know, since we started this, Brother Barry, you know who's coming to our church? Long-haired hippies, drug addicts, tattooed all up." I say, glory to God, they can get saved. Hey, I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, listen to me. He said they got consecrated. Amen. Hey, the amen of addiction, the awfulness of addiction. A man who would spend nights in the woods not eating is addicted. Hallelujah. I got in the bed, last night I got in the bed thinking about this. Here I am in this nice motel room sliding between these clean sheets. And there's people out there living in the woods. Are you listening? I'm talking about in America. Yeah, yes, sir. Jeff told me today, he said, "Preach, I've had 3 calls today. We get 4 to 5 calls a week." He said, "I've had 3 today and I've had 2. 5 calls today that says, if y'all got a place, I'll come." Hey, what's wrong with them? They're addicted. They're just where you used to be before you got saved. Yeah, man. I tell our church all the time, please don't misread me on this. You ever tried to quit eating? Help me. I try to tell our church, bear with us on their addictions. They are addicted. Now, I know it's self-inflicted, but they didn't start off to be that way. You didn't start off to be that way. But I'm telling you, if you want to know what it's like, don't eat for 4 or 5 days. That'll tell you the withdrawals that they're going through. Yeah, man. I try to keep that in my mind. I slid between clean sheets last night. When people are living in the woods, they're not doing that because they want to. They're doing that because they're addicted. Hallelujah. Get addicted to what I'm on, you can get between clean sheets. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Hey, Billy Sunday preacher, you know what? You know what? How much the last time you went to church and preached on nothing but liquor? You know what? We're so overwhelmed with it, we don't think there's no need. Every grocery store is a bear joint. Hello? I preached up in Pittsburgh. I've told this story before. I preached up in the south side. I don't know how in the world I got to Pittsburgh, but I preached up in the south side of Pittsburgh, and the preacher was taking me back out to show me where Billy Sunday used to hold his campaigns. I come to find out I was preaching in a church where Billy Sunday in the morning services would preach to 500 and 600 men to prepare them for the night rallies. And we was on the way back to the motel, and the preacher stopped to get a drink, and I walked in there, and there was no alcohol anywhere. This is Pittsburgh. Maybe I'll say Pittsburgh. I said, "Preach, they don't sell alcohol in this place." He said, "Well, I know, Brother Willis. I said, you want to answer that? He said, I can answer that. I said, how? He said, Billy Sunday preached here 100 years ago. He must have thought you ought to preach on it. He said, we don't need to repeal. We need to repent. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you the addiction. I say the man who sells it worse than the man who drinks it. Amen and amen. Hey, Proverbs 23 talks about that. It talks about who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contention, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes. Hey, we know that's talking about alcohol, but think about all the addiction of drugs and pills and stimulants and depressants. Hey, think about the addiction of pornography. Do you know from what I read, Bill South has a ministry helping people on pornography. They're hooked. Just preach revival for us. And hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, listen to me now. Don't let this scare you. There's somebody sitting in this building tonight hooked on pornography. You said, preacher, you're preaching the wrong message. I'm preaching on addiction. There's somebody or body sitting in this room tonight that's hooked on pornography. You say, man, this is a clean looking crowd. Yeah, but they got junk in their trunk. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't say this wrong. Please don't take this wrong. I got me a new car. And I'm telling you, if you go out there and look at it, I think it looks pretty. You might not like it. I think it looks pretty. I mean, it looks clean. I washed it before I come. But I'm telling you, don't open the trunk. My wife's got the whole kitchen covered in there. It looks pretty and clean. Amen. I up to put our clothes in before we come. I said, how in the world could we get all this stuff in the trunk? And this is a new car. You down the trunk, it looks pretty. But I'm telling you, there's junk in the trunk. Some of y'all look mighty clean tonight, but you got junk in your trunk. Ah, glory! I'll grant you, Brother Barry, if statistics is right, somebody in this building tonight is addicted. God wants to deliver you of that. He can get you off that and get you on the gospel. Hallelujah. There, God, y'all kill a white man up here. I'm telling you now. Hallelujah. I think that's what Brother Jarvis gets me. He wants to get me to die. Amen. Hey, they're hooked on cocaine. They're hooked on the lottery. I was coming over here this morning. Stopped over there to get me something to drink. And I had to stand 10, I believe it was probably 10, almost 10 minutes behind a woman that was getting lottery tickets. Made me mad. I think if they go sell it, they ought to have another line. Hallelujah. Hey, they're hooked on the lottery. They're hooked on nicotine. They're hooked on music. They're hooked on the internet. I'll tell you something now. Y'all don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I just started texting. I mean, I do it like this. When I send you a message by text, you know I love you. And I've had this happen several times. I'd be doing this and got it down to the last word and the phone will ring. But you know what? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I see how you can get addicted to that. If you don't think you're addicted, go a day without texting. I ain't picking on that. I'm not picking on that. I'm just simply saying, hey, addiction, we can get easily addicted to things. And my wife's even texting. I text every day. I get in this text every day. Text. Hey, I like this kind of texting. I got me a text. I'm sending you a message. Get addicted. Hallelujah. This will keep you out of jail instead of put you in jail. Glory to God. Somebody help me. Amen. Hey, at last I heard is 18 million alcoholics in our country. We call them alcoholics. I know, but I'm talking about, I'm trying to understand. We got 18 million people that's on alcohol that have to have it. That's not talking about all the other addictions. Bible says the Bible said in our text, they have woe, they have sorrow. People on addiction, they have sorrow. They have divorce in their family. Amen. I grew up in that. I grew up in a home. My daddy was a drunk. My daddy was a town drunk. I grew up in a home that had addiction in it. Hey, there's divorce. There's contention. Children are divided. Contention, fighting, fussing, cussing. Amen. Some of you young people tonight, listen to me. Don't feel like you're missing something because you've never had to live that way. The devil tell you, well, you don't have a testimony. You have a testimony not to have to live in that even. Contention, babblings. I looked up babblings. I think it was Wilson, Old Testament, Bible word study. Here's what he said. He said babblings means melancholy conversations. That's what I found there. When I read that, you know what I thought about? I thought about a man we were working with in the prison. He was in prison. He used to go to Sammy Kay's church when he was a young boy. His mama was a faithful member of Sammy Kay's church, loved God. And he was in that home. And one day he got where they brought come to school and told him that his mama had committed suicide. He said, it blew my world apart. My mama was a godly woman. And now my mama has killed herself. Well, he was turned about 13, 14 years old, and he went the way of the drug world and stayed on drugs, got married, still on drugs. He said one night, Brother Barry, he was so hopped up on drugs, he killed his wife and hid her under the bed. Did not even know he killed her. The police officers came to the church house, looked over the house because the neighbors had called. There was commotion. They came over there, looked at the house, couldn't find nobody. They left. The next day they come back and found his wife under the bed, dead. They put Tim Terry, they put him in prison. After he was in prison for some time, he gloriously got saved. He was sentenced to 30 years. Now, I don't understand all this. You'd have to ask Brother Terry, but this is his testimony. He said, I gloriously got saved in prison. He said, after I got saved, it so radically saved. He said, I started obeying all the wardens. I started doing everything I knew to do right. After 15 years, they let him out. He started Jumpstart Program in the prison. And Jumpstart Program is a ministry in the prison that's reaching those guys 40 weeks before they get out. His success rate is so great, the governor of South Carolina and the officials of South Carolina is saying, we need this program. I'm telling you, God can get you off addiction. God can get you from that to addicted to the gospel. Amen. What does it do? I'll tell you what the Bible said. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has bad? Who has wounds? Who has wounds without cause? I had a man come to my church years ago. He had one leg. I said, Don, what happened to your leg? He said, I was in a joke joint in Texas and some man blew it off. We know what addiction does. Why do people get addicted? Why don't we get addicted? If we would give the energy to the gospel that the world gives to what they're addicted to, we shake the world. Hallelujah. I am amazed that we get saved and if a church goes past 9 o'clock, and there, God, you used to not hit the junk joint till it was 9 o'clock. Somebody help me right there. Well, I mean, we get saved, get lazy. Oh, Lord, help me. Hey, there's irritation. He said what? It biteth like a serpent and stingeth like a... There's irritation. There's fornication. He said what? In the next verse, he said, thine eyes shall behold strange women. I read this in one of those books that said the last woman killed by Jack the Ripper was drunk. He so mutilated her, it took 6 doctors, 6 hours to put her back together for an autopsy. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about what addiction does. The conversation. Notice what he says. Notice what he said. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. And I'm hitting this. Y'all stay with me just a minute. I'm just simply saying we're living in a world that's addicted. Never have we seen the day like we're living in a day that people are addicted. You'd be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised. You know, you'd be surprised who down in your job is addicted. You're working with them. Are you listening to me? Their conversation, they utter a perverse thing. Had a man in my church said his wife died. Long story short, he moved his granddaughter and her husband and their little daughter into his house. Well, one night in the middle of the night, the house caught on fire. So he went running out the house. But when he got outside, he didn't see his granddaughter and his great-granddaughter. So he run back in the house to get them. When he got back in, he couldn't find. He got burnt to a crisp. They called me up and said he's at the medical university. Would you come see him? This is no exaggeration. When I got there, honestly, his head was about that big around. His lips had swollen up back over his nose. And the nurse walked in and she said, "Preacher, all we're trying to do is keep him comfortable. He's not going to be here much longer." And he died later that day. I had to preach the funeral. When I got to the funeral, to preach the funeral, his family was ungodly and wicked, so they wouldn't have it at our church where it's supposed to. They had it at another church. When I got there to preach, this is the truth for the Lord, Pastor. I couldn't hardly remember my name. I mean, I have never been so bound up in a pulpit. I couldn't hardly get my name out. Well, anyway, we got through that service, took him to the graveyard and buried him. Sometimes a while later, his granddaughter, her husband, moved to Georgia. Well, they got down to Georgia one night, and they got drunk, and they were in a nightclub, and they started telling in the nightclub in Georgia how she killed her granddaddy and got the insurance money. Some people in the juke joint heard them tell that, called Berkeley County. Berkeley County went to Georgia and arrested them and brought them back to South Carolina. They're in prison tonight for the rest of their life. How did they get there? They started uttering perverse things when they were drunk. Addiction. People are addicted. Are you listening to me? Hey, addiction is an awful thing. The Bible said they'll seek it yet again. I remember my daddy. My daddy was a trans drunk. I remember one night seeing my daddy fall dead in the hall. I was a young boy. I remember my mama hollered, screamed, "Mama, go up the hill, get that pokey. Go get that. Your daddy's dead. Your daddy's dead." I went running up the hill. I got my aunt next door. We come running back down the hill. When I got there, my daddy was breathing. His eyes had done rolled back in his head. And my mama said, "Son, God told me to put a pillow on his head." And when I did, he caught his breath. We got daddy up, hauled him to the bed, put him in the bed. Here's his next word. Go get me another bottle of liquor. They'll seek it again. Why do people that see what addiction does go back to it again? And why? They are addicted. Hello? The only hope for that is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. Hey, we took my daddy to a home after that. I remember the preacher come to our house, said, "Alan, you will never get off alcohol with self-will." He had joined AA. He had joined all every kind of organization you could get in. We had so many chips at our house, we looked like a sawdust mill. Blue, green, yellow. It never did get him off. And I tell you, the preacher come to our house one time. He said, "Alan, we know a place we can take you into Columbia, outside of Columbia. It's a place where you can get some spiritual help for your addiction." My daddy agreed. Matter of fact, when the preacher was coming in the front yard, I remember this like it's yesterday. When the preacher was coming in the front yard, the preacher never did come to our house. Well, my daddy was a drunk. And so I remember when the preacher got up and was coming in the house, daddy, that's what daddy said. He said, "Go get my shirt." Y'all ready for this? A drunk in that day had more morals than a lot of church people today. The drunk said, "I'm naked." The drunk said, "I better put my clothes on because the preacher's coming." Somebody help me right there. I holler and scream, "Put on your clothes." Hello. Y'all didn't think y'all was going to get out of here without that, did you? That's my hobby horse, amen. I had a preacher call me to come preach revival. I said, "Brother, I love you. You my friend. But I can't preach revival because somewhere in revival, I'm going to talk about nakedness and I'm afraid y'all will take it wrong." I did. Hello. I was preaching in a church one night. I won't tell you where. I will tell you where. It's upstate South Carolina. I was preaching in a church one night, and the pastor told me, he said, "Tonight we got a visiting choir coming over." I said, "That's wonderful. I love visiting choirs. Dear God, when they showed, I done had my message. I done had the points. I write them down because I'd be scared if I didn't write them down. Nakedness. Hit that while you're preaching. I done put it down there. Hit that one. Because if I don't put it down, I look out and see it, I might be scared to do it." So, somebody. So I done have my message. I done preached it numbers of times. And they walked in. And the Holy Ghost said, "What you going to do tonight, big boy?" I said, "Lord, I don't know. This ain't going to be good." I'm going to tell you, that was as naked a crowd I ever saw in church. And they got up on the choir to sing. Dear God, I just reared back, closed my eyes, plunged out there in the deep, amen, and preached! Dear God, when that service was over there, it was going out side doors, back doors. Nobody was coming out my door. Hey, Nate, hey, addiction will make you take your clothes off. Hey, what I'm addicted to will make you put them on. Glory to God. Woo, how did I get on that in this sermon? I don't know. I'll tell you what happened. The next night, the preacher and his wife picked us up. These people are up around 70. His wife was dressed like that. In other words, big boy, preach what you want. I don't know where I'm getting all this big boy stuff from. I'm telling you, people are bold, friend. I'll tell you what our problem is. We ain't addicted to the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, hey, it begins with use. Soon it turns to misuse. Finally, it becomes abuse. Are you listening? Hey, young people, listen to me. You will never be addicted if you never take the first drink. You will never be addicted to nicotine if you never smoke the first cigarette. Hallelujah. You will never be hooked on pornography if you never see the first film. Amen. I'm just simply saying they're addicted. These people are addicted. You know what? I'm just simply saying just tonight, hey, one cigarette elevates your heartbeat 29 beats. I'm hooked on something elevated. Mine's elevated right now. Oh, Lord. You know 74% of the people in America think social drinking is acceptable? This is what I'm reading, amen. Listen to me about addiction. They have to have it to feel normal. That's my key line in this message. They have to have it to feel normal. They're so on it that when they don't have it, they're not normal. They have to have it to feel normal. That's my punchline. Yeah, man. Hey, a half a million American teens have been put on steroids. Are you listening to me? You know why Bob Ford is like he is, all crippled up like he is? Steroids. He was a tremendous athlete in high school, and they pumped him full of steroids. That's why he can't mobile. That's why he's not mobile today. Steroids destroyed his body. He was a tremendous athlete. That's what they're doing to our teenagers today, putting on steroids. Hello, hello, amen. Hey, stimulants make you feel energetic and alert. That could be cocaine, amen. You inhale it, snort it, and inject it. 7 out of 10 people, this is what I'm reading, and a reformer's unanimous is here tonight, he can help me. 7 out of 10 people that try crack, which is a form of cocaine, say they can't refuse it the next time. 1 out of 10 people that drink alcohol will become a drunkard. Y'all didn't come here for a bunch of statistics tonight, but I do feel like I'm just hitting on this. I'm simply saying to tonight, we're living in an addicted society. Are you listening to me? And our program that we got, we tell them you don't need crack, you need Christ. Hey, you don't need whiskey, you need worship. Hey, you don't need a Bud Light, you need a Bible that's right. Glory to God. Woo! I'm good preaching around. Woo, I just got that today. Amen. Hey, you don't need the rock of addiction. You need the rock of ages. I just got that, children. You don't need a 10-step program, a 12-step program. You need one step to the altar. Hallelujah. Hey, Mark Holbrook come to our home. He's Susan McGill's brother. This is what Susan told me when he come. She said, Brother Alfred, Brother Jeff, if y'all can get Mark lost, he'll probably get saved. He said he made a profession when he was like 12 or 13 years old, and now he's lived 35 years. I mean, Mark Holbrook is a notorious drug addict. And he come to our home. And I think, Philip, did he finish? He got almost finished. He finished? Almost finished. He got almost finished. And one day I saw him pulling out the yard. I said, where are you going, Mark? He said, I'm going fishing. Well, it ain't the kind of fish we thinking about. And he went back and got back on drugs. And got put in jail and everything else. Mark called us again. Brother Robert, he called us again. He said, Preacher, I need to come back to the home. So Mark come back to the home. This time he's all swole up. I mean, he's all messed up. He was sick as a dog. He got there on a Wednesday, and he got in the Wednesday night service. And I preached on something, and he didn't come. I saw conviction on him. The next morning, I was over in the fellowship hall, and Mark come in the kitchen. He said, Preacher, I messed up last night. I said, what's that? He said, God showed me last night I was lost. I said, do what, Mark? He said, God showed me last night, for the first time I'm lost. See, you couldn't shake Mark. He made a profession. He's holding on to a profession, a profession, a profession. I tell you, if you get saved, God deliver you from drugs. He said, God showed me I was lost. He said, but the devil told me, if I go down there tonight, the first night back, these people will think I'm trying to fool them. He said, I let the devil talk me out of it. I said, Mark, now that you know you're lost, you can get saved. Well, lo and behold, it was the next day. We took him to the doctor. He was eat up with cancer. I mean, eat up with cancer. So we called Sister Susan. Sister Susan said, well, you know, I'm at the house by myself now. I'll take Mark and I'll keep him. So she took him in. Well, I had to go up there to preach a funeral. And I went up there to preach a funeral, and here comes Mark walking in. I mean, smiling from ear to ear. I said, Mark, what's going on? He said, preacher, I'm dying, but I'm living. He said, I've never been so happy in my life. He said, God, save my soul. Hey, he died. I preached his funeral. Jeff preached his funeral. His brother preached his funeral. And he said, glory. Hey, he got addicted on the gospel. Woo! Y'all let me shout a while. They can change. Hallelujah. Hey, I was preaching. I ain't come to tell a bunch of stories. I was preaching in North Carolina. And when I got there that night, they put a young preacher up before me. Dear God, when he got through, I wasn't even sure I was called to preach. That boy preached the house down. Oh, Lord, did he preach? So I was playing. My wife was over there talking to his wife after the service. And I went up there, them were talking, then he come over. And we were talking about, I said, well, brother, where'd you come from? He said, preacher, this is my testimony. I was in Augusta, Georgia. I was in a motel room. I done passed out. I done overdosed. I was near death. And they found me in the room and rescued me and took me to a mission. And I gloriously got saved. Amen. So his wife walked up and was talking to my wife. I said, hey, this is your wife? And he said, yeah. I said, did you come from that kind of background? She said, no, my daddy's a pastor. I said, your daddy is a pastor and you married this drug addict? She said, yeah. I said, what's your daddy's name? She said, Lou Rossi. I said, Lou Rossi is your daddy and he's a drug addict and you was raising Lou Rossi and y'all married? I said, boy, you are blessed. He said, that's what the gospel will do. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God can deliver you from addiction. He can take it from addiction to addiction. Amen. Woo! Lord have mercy. Hey, they get on depressants. It slows them down. It gives them a feeling of relaxation. They slur their speech. Amen. I had a family in my church one time, man, his wife, I was trying to help. I put him in a room over there. He come on, I was getting up every morning, taking him to work. He come on to my office one morning. He said, preacher, you going to take me to work? I said, man, you drunk? No, I ain't drunk. I said, man, you stand on church ground, you drunk. He said, no, I took a few aspirins. I said, it must be high powered. His wife walking out the yard one day. She was walking out of church. I'm not exaggerating, brother. I know y'all wouldn't do this. I couldn't help it. I mean, she was walking out of churchyard like this. And I pulled in the churchyard. I said, sis, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just walking up the road. I said, you on church ground and you drunk. She's in hell tonight. I said that with a broken heart. She got cirrhosis of the liver and swole up. And I went to see her before she died. Never did get saved. Addiction, I hate addiction. It gets you, it grabs you. Are you listening to me? Often abusers will mix amphetamines and get stimulated for some event, and then they'll take downers and die. I know a preacher did that. If I call his name, you'd know his name. They got him for writing illegal prescriptions. Had a godly wife, had godly children. They were serving God. I could tell you the church they were serving God in. He was writing illegal prescriptions. Sing like a mockingbird. But he was on taking illegal drugs. He got arrested for it. He got put in jail. He got caught again, put in jail. Tonight he's in heaven. You know what? And listen to me, church. I'm slowing down. I got to get through. Listen to me. We talk about addiction out there in the world. We got addiction in God, in the family of God. It ain't illegal drugs. It's legal drugs. Hey, I didn't come to stir up nothing, but I am telling you this, friend. You better be careful how you always pumping medicine. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't say this. I'm like Brother Clint. I don't say this. I've had several heart attacks, but I know what I come from. I used to get hooked on pickle juice. Everything I ever tried, I got hooked on. And I'm telling you, the doctors told me, take this pill, take this pill, take this pill. And I ain't no hero, and I'm not trying to sound, but I know my past, and I know I'm easily addicted. And I'm telling you, I'm scared of it. You say you saved. There are saved people that's addicted. And I don't think you ought to be crazy. I know there's a place for that, but you better be careful how you're taking them just to live. You can't do without it. You're not normal without it. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. What you got is junk in your trunk. I don't have time to deal with pornography. Amen. 280 monthly publications. 280, probably more than that now. They tell me on the internet, and I don't know nothing about the internet. They tell me on the internet, there are millions and millions of sites on the internet that you can pick up pornography. We're living in an addicted world. I'm telling you, the only answer is Christ. How many preachers are out of the ministry because of being caught on this kind of stuff? Pornography and the lottery and James 1:14. I tell you what James 1:14 said. You want to hear it? He said, when sin has come, let me read it to you. Here's what he said. It says right here. It says over there, it said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted to God. For no man, God can be tempted to evil, neither tempted any man. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Ryrie Study Bible said that's a fishing term. You got lured. Amen. In other words, what happened is that bass is sitting there, and that fisherman throws that lure out there, and it drops down in front of that bass, and he looks at it, and it's shiny, and it wiggles. And he's watching it walk off, snake off. And I want to be real, I don't want to be uncouth. But it done got his attention, friend. And it's wiggling and it's shining. When you walk in the back door and everybody goes, uh-huh. And it's shining, it's wiggling. Y'all laugh. We ought to be crying. I tell you, one walked in, not the church I pastor, but the church I was in. One walked in, and I've told this story before. Y'all act like you ain't heard it. This is the honest to goodness truth. One walked in, shiny and wiggling. And my wife punched me. First time she'd ever been to church. She was a beautiful woman. And my wife punched me. She said, I don't even want to tell you what I got to say. I said, tell me. She said, that's trouble. So, to combat that, she said, I feel awful to say that. To combat that, we bought them dryers, we bought them washing machines, we bought them all kinds of things to get rid of that because we didn't want to feel bad. Well, let me tell you what she did. She ran off without preaching. Hello? Amen. Bible said you're lured. I'm not going to pursue that tonight. That's not my message, but I am telling you this. The Bible said that fish grabs it, but he's hooked. He thinks he's got it, but it's got him. It's got him hooked. That's why they call them hookers. You know why they call them hookers? They hook you. I'm just simply saying the father of sin is the devil. The mother of sin is lust, is conceived. Hey, the child of sin is death. LSD. Are you listening? They're addicted to self. These people are addicted to self. But Stephanus was addicted to serve. Let me hit that and I'll quit. He was converted. He was consecrated. That was the confirmation. Paul confirmed them. Amen. I see his family. My family was on drugs. My children were on drugs. I drug them to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, notice Stephanus' faithfulness, the relief he brought. He said, I was glad to see them come. Thank God for the personal appearing of Stephanus and Achaicus and Fortunatus. Hey, we're not complete till you come. You know what makes up our churches? makes them what they are? People that are addicted. They have to have it Sunday morning. They have to have it Sunday night. They have to have it Wednesday night. They have to have it in revival. They have to have camp meeting. They are addicted. Thank God for churches that's got addicted people in it. Amen. What a blessing it is to have people in our church that are addicted. Amen. Hey, notice he was a relief. He was a refreshment. Hey, they were addicted. Notice what the Bible said they did. The Bible said that you submit yourselves unto such and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. This crowd that's addicted, that means beyond the point of exhaustion. They work and labor in the gospel ministry beyond the point of exhaustion. How many times you've served God so faithfully, you just almost passed out when you were so tired? Amen. Paul said this crowd, they went beyond the point of exhaustion. Are you listening? Hey, a lady in a meeting I was in North Carolina, I preached this message. She came up to me. She was a crack cocaine addict. Got saved. Here's what she said. She said, preach one time when I was on drugs. She said, I stayed up 7 days and nights and never slept. I don't see how the body could do that. She said, 7 days and nights I did not sleep. I thought, you get my point. You get my point. I'm not fussing. I'm just simply saying, dear God, if we go an extra hour or two, the average church member today, an extra hour or two, dear Lord, preacher, you trying to kill us? Amen. They labored. Amen. They refreshed Paul. I'm through. Don't forget Stephanus. His family, his faithfulness. Don't forget him. The Bible said acknowledge him. Amen. Acknowledge these people to do that. Hello. I went before my church Sunday, and we had a little get-together like y'all having. And I tell you, I spent a good while thanking our people for what they did. Amen. And they did. They worked. This is work. Thank God. Thank God for Welcome Baptist Church and what y'all did to make us welcome. All the gifts and all the presents and all the cooking and all the labor and all the cleaning. It's a lot involved. Thank you for being addicted to the gospel and ministering to the people. Hey, when the judgment seat comes by and he's handing out rewards, I just stand up there. I told my church Sunday, I just stand up there and let everybody brag on me. Everybody comes by and I meet and says, oh, Brother Willis, you do such a good job. I said, thank you. And another come by and pat me on the back and say, Brother Willis, man, y'all do a good job. I said, thank you, thank you. I just take all the credit. I hope y'all know me better than that. Honestly, all I do is stand there and they do all the work. Help me, Brother Robert. Please give me amen, brother. I was preaching in Alabama again, and I don't say that to say I preach a lot of places. I was preaching in Alabama, and there was a fellow leading the choir. And the pastor came over and told me, he said, Brother Alfred, he said, you see that fellow leading the choir? I said, yeah. He said, he was a crack addict. I said, really? He said, let me tell you a story. Well, he didn't get to tell me the whole story. Next morning, I went outside, and that boy was out there working around the church. And I said, you was a drug addict? He said, boy, preacher, let me tell you. He said, man, I was so bad on drugs. He said, I was selling drugs, taking drugs. He said, but they caught me, and I was going to prison, and they was going to give me 10 years. He said, but I got a praying mama. And my mom and daddy started praying for me. And the judge renounced the sentence. And I didn't have to go to prison. And he said, now I've got me a building. He said, they live in a little single wide trailer. You could hardly get in. Now they live in a big old house. He started a business. He bought businesses in town. Now he's prospering. And while he's leading the choir, Brother Barry, his mama is standing right in front of him. And I'm looking at him leading the choir, and I'm looking at her looking at him, and she's saying where he used to be and now where he is now. And then he got gloriously saved, didn't have to go to prison. Well, his buddy that run with him, his name is Penny. And Brother Ross said he wasn't worth a nickel. Somebody now, he got saved. And Penny's in the prayer room before we go to church. And he said, preacher, I ain't never told this before. He said, but I'm going to tell it here tonight. We've had a good revival. I want to tell something. He said, I was so far gone in drugs, I was mixing my drugs out of the mud puddle. He said, but now I'm gloriously saved. Now Penny's in the choir. We got a drug addict leading the choir. We got a church. We got a choir full of drug addicts. And when they get through, they come all sit down on the front row, and I'm preaching on addiction. Dear God, we about tore the building down. Somebody help me. Are y'all listening? I'm trying to tell you, God got them from that and addicted them on the gospel. Amen. Bible said, acknowledge that crowd. Hallelujah. I'm through. I promise you. So I want to acknowledge him tonight. I want to acknowledge Tracy and Roger and Jim. Amen. Drives 35 miles one way. Every time the church door's open, Hugh, William, Jeff, Lance, Bugs. Bugs drives 40 miles one way. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. John, Jerry drives. Jerry is a drunk. He drives 45 miles to church one way. Y'all help me now. They got to be a day. They're coming to hear me. I could understand if they're coming to hear y'all. 45 miles one way. He comes, comes back Sunday afternoon, comes back Wednesday night. A lot of times he comes for visitation. Anytime I have a work day, he's there. Jerry was a drunk, got gloriously saved. You know how he got saved, Brother Robin? His wife did that before he got saved, and she was in every service and finally got him to come, and he gloriously got saved. I mean, got a double dose of the Holy Ghost. You know why God saved the husband? She got addicted. Got a lady comes out of church, drives about 35 miles one way. She's a single mother. Her children don't have a daddy. She drives every service back and forth. God's going to save her children. Why? Because she's addicted. Need to get addicted. I'm through. I quit. Promise. I tell you what, you get addicted, you do things you don't normally do. Amen. I remember one time I was down at the beach. I was lost. I walked out on the porch, it's kind of like this, and everybody's standing out there in the parking lot. And I walked out there, and I was addicted on the wrong thing. And I looked out at that crowd, and I said, "Hey, hey!" And everybody looked up there. I said, "I want to know who's the meanest, roughest fella in the crowd." And a big old fella, wide fella, looked at me. He said, "I am." I said, "Well, take over, I'm leaving." You know why I did that? I was hooked on the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but it's excess. But be filled. You get full of God, and you'll do things you wouldn't normally do. I'll tell you about Sunday morning. I get nervous. But y'all listening? About Sunday morning, I feel like I got to have a fix. I'm going to church to get me a fix. Somebody help me. I ain't trying to be around. Sunday night, I get the shakes again. I'm going back to church. I had this voice called to preach. Wednesday night, I feel it coming on. I've got to go get fixed again. Revival. I get nervous. I got to have revival. I got to have care. I don't feel normal when I don't have it. When I get up in the morning and I don't read my Bible, I don't feel normal. Amen. When I get up in the morning and I don't pray, I don't feel normal. Why? I'm addicted to the Bible and prayer and pray. You get addicted, friend. Amen. Dear God, we'd have a revived church if all of us got addicted. Are you listening? Promise you, last point. I read where Olita, 78 years old, had smoked for 50 years. She had tried to quit many times. She met Leo, 79 years old. They courted. She proposed to Olita, but he said to her, "I refuse to marry you till you quit smoking." She quit smoking. Somebody asked her why. She said, "What willpower couldn't do, love did." What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just saying we need to fall in love with God. Are you listening to me? Hey, Bible, Stephanus means crown. Word Stephanus means crown. Stephanus is going to get a crown. The world out there is looking for crown royal. We will get a royal crown. Hallelujah. If you get addicted, you get... Dear God, Rev, I'll tell you that. That was pretty good. Hey, I'm looking. We shall wear a Roman crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Oh, when that trumpet sounds, we shall wear a crown. I don't know it, sister. I'm just kidding. I don't know it. Hey, I'm just asking tonight, are you addicted to the gospel? We need to get addicted to the gospel. Somebody here tonight, you're addicted, amen, on the wrong thing. Won't you come to an altar and get some relief tonight? God will deliver you, amen. Let's stand, let's pray, amen. Pastor, you come, amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, you come. Pastor, you come. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. Oh, Lord.
I was thinking while he was preaching, finishing up preaching, A lot of times when folks get addicted, those they hang around get addicted. Get one church member addicted, the next one down the road might get addicted. One sitting behind them, mama get addicted to the things of God, and them young'uns might get addicted. It's spread, amen. You just mind the Lord tonight while these are praying. You may be here, there may be somebody here, and you are addicted to something. Nobody knows. Between you and God. God can deliver you. Take that one step to the altar, one step to Christ. He can deliver you from that addiction.